Some of you have come up to me and asked, why don't my kids go to church anymore? And if you haven't come up to ask me, I know many of you are thinking about it. And I usually never give you a really good answer to that question because it's a very complex question. Some of the things are through no fault of our own. It's just the world that we live in and the influence that it has. But there are a number of different things that we could have done better that would have helped in the midst of that situation. One of them is that too often we gave our kids a faith of thou shalt nots, a faith of no's, where we told them everything that the faith told us that we weren't allowed to do, and it kind of ended there. And so it was no fun. No talking. Don't get angry. Don't ask questions about God. And just move on. That this is just the way that it is. And we gave a bunch of no's without ever giving the reason why. This is kind of the problem that ends up with the Jewish people, and particularly the leaders of the Jewish people, right? God gives the Ten Commandments, so the law can't be bad in and of itself. But then they took those Ten Commandments and they turned them into 613 commandments. And then they created a whole group of people, the Pharisees, who were responsible for ensuring that the Jewish people kept to those commandments, that they were like the police officers of the law of God, and according to their interpretation of that law of God. And to break that law of God was then to reject God, and there were punishments to be had because of that. And then when it comes to what we hear in the gospel today, with Jesus overturning the tables in the temple, well, they were doing what they were supposed to do according to the law. They were offering sacrifice to God. This was a good thing. This was the way that they reconciled with God and they maintained their relationship with God. But where they took it too far was that in order to kind of make this more expedient and work more efficiently, they made it a marketplace where it became kind of this business to get the animal that you required for sacrifice, which inevitably started to marginalize the poor because the poor couldn't afford the right sacrifice that they needed to offer to God. And what they did is they started to even compromise their faith without even realizing, where they would bring profane things into the sacredness of the temple. Part of the problem was that they would bring all of the different money that needed to be exchanged to do business. The money with the face of all of these leaders that were not God were brought into the temple, and they profaned God's temple in order to follow the law. This is why Jesus was angry, because they missed the point. They were following all these rules and completely missing the point as to why the law existed in the first place. If you go to the book of Deuteronomy, where the Ten Commandments are listed in the book of Deuteronomy, right after the Ten Commandments are listed, this is what it says. You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land which you shall possess. This is the purpose of the law. This is the purpose of the Ten Commandments. So that you may live, that it may go well with you, and that you might live long. Or you can just go back to the psalm that we sang today at Mass. It was talking all about the law of God, his decrees and his precepts. And what does it say about God's precepts and his decrees? Well, it revives the soul. It enlightens the mind, rejoices the heart, and it makes one wise. This is the why. This is the reason for the law. But sometimes we forget. We just remember everything that we're not supposed to do and don't remember the why. The law has a purpose, right? It's kind of like having a home but having no rules on how that home is to be kept clean. Or it's having a whole bunch of money and no budget in how to deal with it. It's having a road, but no lines on the road. It's having a sport with no referee. The law is necessary. We can't live without law. But the law isn't the reason for itself. The law doesn't exist for its own sake. The law exists to serve some greater purpose, some greater need. And so knowing the why is exceedingly important, right? You need to go to Mass every Sunday. Why? You're not supposed to live together before you're married. Why? Why do we have these teachings of the church? These are the no's, but the no's exist for a greater why. And the why is the real reason that we're living a life of faith, not the no's. It's not so that we just have no fun as Christians because we don't want to have fun in life. It's because we say no to these things because we're trying to say yes to something that has infinitely greater value. But then when we think of law, of rules, we can kind of tend to one extreme or another. One extreme is the people that resist the laws. They think the laws are too restrictive. It takes away from their individual freedom. And so they kind of push away from law and break the rules all the time. And then you have the opposite end of the spectrum of people who love rules and love the law. And they want everything nice and black and white so it's perfectly clear and understandable to everyone. Do either of those work? Here's something to consider and think about. What is our or the world's answer or solution to sin? Because sin is a problem. Whether you're Christian or not, sin is a problem. Even if you're unwilling to acknowledge the sin in your own life, you're definitely capable of seeing the sin in the people around you. And it's a problem. It creates problems. So what's our answer to that? Well, law is too restrictive, so everybody should be able to choose for themselves what they think is right and wrong. Well, we can see where that comes into a problem. Okay, so the opposite end of the spectrum is for every wrong that is done, we will impose a law to make sure that that wrong never happens again. Well, any of you that are parents know how well that works. So what's the answer to sin? How do we deal with this reality? It can't be having no law, and it can't be imposing law on everyone. Jesus is the answer. Jesus brings the two together. See, we hear from St. Paul today about the Jews who demand signs and the Greeks who demand wisdom. The demand for wisdom is the demand for truth, for certainty, for the law. The Jews demand signs, which is freedom from that law, God's miracles, God's works in the world that supersede any sort of human knowledge and wisdom and thing that we can hold and control. And St. Paul says, we're not either of those. We proclaim Christ crucified. Because for us as Christians in Jesus, particularly on the cross, he is the fulfillment of the law. Law, as it says in Scripture, finds its fulfillment in love. And when the cross takes place, when Jesus is crucified, the law and love come together. What is the law that is fulfilled on the cross? Well, it's his sacrifice, right? The sacrifice offered to God for the sake of sin. We say it all the time, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The most perfect sacrifice that could be offered in the temple to God was a year-old, unblemished male lamb. In the hierarchy of sacrifices, that was the top. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the sacrifice fulfilled. But he doesn't impose the sacrifice on another being or on another person. He becomes the sacrifice. He offers himself in total self-gift in love for our sake. And so that law of sacrifice finds its fulfillment in his self-gift, in his life. The two come together in Jesus, right? What is the law? The law is sacrifice. Sacrifice is necessary. We cannot avoid it. It is needed. But the sacrifice finds its fulfillment in love, in self-gift of the person. Right? Some of you probably grew up in a time where the law and the rules were very important, to the point where some people stayed in very bad marriages because you're not allowed to divorce. Abusive marriages, and you weren't allowed to leave because the law says you cannot divorce, according to Catholic teaching. Well, nowadays, we're kind of almost in the opposite end extreme, where There's no need for sacrifice. Love is love. And love whoever you want in whatever way you want. There's no sacrifice. There's the law. There's the no law. Jesus holds the two together. And only in Jesus are the two held together. This is the gift of our faith. Because ultimately, faith isn't about a bunch of thou shalt nots and nos. Faith actually opens up our life to an infinitely greater reality if we're willing to accept it. Because what is the opposite of faith? The opposite of faith is doubt. So if you don't have faith, you have to doubt. You have to be a skeptic. You have to question everything. So what does that mean? Well, it means you have to have borders. You have to put up walls. Because everything that comes into your life, you have to question it and you have to test it and you have to determine for yourself whether this is something that I'm going to accept as true or not in my life. And so the only way that you can manage that is create your own borders. Here's where I'll let stuff in and here's where I won't. Faith is the opposite. Faith is the willingness to let that down. Faith is the willingness to be open to everything in life because I know the way through. I know how to hold the law and love together to walk through whatever comes my way in life. And the example that came to mind for me when I was thinking about that is St. John Paul II. A man tried to kill him, shot him, wanted him dead. And what did John Paul II's faith do? When he got out of the hospital, one of the first things he did, walked over to this man's jail cell, sat down, had a conversation with him, and enjoyed his company as a fellow human being. How is that possible without faith? That is a faith that brings down barriers, brings down borders in order to reconcile. The law of sacrifice fulfilled in love. This is what we need to remember ourselves in the way that we go about our faith. This is the why. But it also needs to be the thing that we share the most with people when we talk about faith, when we have the opportunity to share it, whether that's with friends or family or your own children. What is the reason why? Why do I say no to this? And if you don't know the reason why, find it. Ask about it. Because for a long time, we could just live with accepting it as it is because just about everybody accepted it. But now that very few accept it, we have to have a good answer to why. So what is the why that we say no to these other things? Because this is what we live for. And what we live for in faith is infinitely more important than what we have to reject along the way to get there. We don't live a faith of thou shalt nots. Jesus says, I did not come to abolish the law, but I did come to fulfill it. I am offering you something more than just law and rules. And that finds its fulfillment in love.